No, it's 6:29.
All right.
Call it me.
6:29, right?
Vote on
6:30. No, it's 6:30.
I voted.
What's that? This is official time.
What? You got? Who's your supplier?
6:30, go.
All right. I think we are in accord that it is 6:30, so we'll begin our meeting. Are there any citizen comments? Citizen comments?
Oh, I can even read it. Wow, good.
All right, seeing none, I have no reports. Are there any committee reports?
Oh, I just wanted to point out to everyone, I gave everyone a couple pieces of paper here. The issue that we already went through.
Are you talking about the photo?
Yeah.
This is what you're.
So, just to be aware in the future.
I was attributing these to Bob, so I thought.
Nope, those are from me.
Those are from you, okay. Next, any other reports?
Move the minutes to be approved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Well, I'm not seconding that.
Any discussion on the approval of the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, then we'll move on to the CABA report. Todd.
So, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Todd Battle with Rochery Business Alliance. I was going to introduce you to Brock Portilla. Brock joined CABA as our Director of Finance in August of this year.
What's the last name?
Portilla.
Portilla, okay.
So I figured I'd bring him along, introduce him to the committee. We'd kind of team up on this report here, and then in the future you'd see one or the other of us as it's time to give these quarterly reports. We got a couple of items tonight. I'll probably jump in just on the reports first and then probably cover the RLF handbook amendment.
Anybody wants a copy? Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got a few items here in this particular report. The first is just kind of a summary of our business retention expansion program. As the county's contracted economic development service provider, we regularly call on large employers, manufacturers, distribution companies throughout the community and try to keep a pretty good pulse on what's going on in the community. Business climate issues, expansion opportunities, any types of things they're seeing with respect to workforce. It's just a way that we can get a lot of feedback about how our community's faring and how companies in the community perceive it as a place to do business and what we can do better. So there's just a couple of items in there that summarize some of the findings from those interviews over the course of the year. And then there's a list of about a little over 100 companies that we've called on this year, just so you can kind of get an idea for the types of meetings we're hosting and the companies we're meeting with and the types of information we're getting back, but just kind of share that in summary. And then I'll kind of jump right into the revolving loan fund reports. We have three loan fund reports and then one short report on the high impact fund. The first of the loan fund reports is around the U.S. Department of Commerce Economic Development Administration revolving loan fund. As always, we've got kind of two sheets in here. One is the reconciliation of the checkbook. So you see for the fourth quarter of 2015, kind of the starting bank account balance, what came in and what went out. I would note in the outgoing loan disbursements, the big number there was a $750,000 disbursement, and that went to a company called Gourmet Foods International. This is a new firm that has located a facility in the business park of Kenosha. CABA was involved in the recruitment of the company and then helped finance their acquisition and improvements to a facility in that park. They acquired about a 35,000 square foot facility. They're in the midst of renovations to that facility now, and then we'll start operating in the very near future. So that's what that $750,000 item is. And then the next page is just a summary of all of the various 10 or so loans that are in that fund and the account balances, and would note that all of those are current and in good standing.
Yes?
Todd, this just popped into my mind. Do we have, I know in the high impact fund we have like criteria for the companies. Is there anything with the revolving loan fund when you help companies that you look for certain benchmarks or?
Yep, and we'll probably get into that a little bit in the CKC handbook because we're gonna recommend some amendments to it, but each of our different loan funds, this loan was made out of the EDA loan fund. It would have different requirements about how much money we can lend, per job created, what might be the wage requirements of those jobs, what the funds can be used for. So there are, we would refer to them as either program guidelines or restrictive covenants that say what we can and can't do with those funds. I would just say we're probably, we've set the bar a little higher on the high impact fund in that it's, there's a good possibility that companies can almost convert those forgivable loans into grants, where in this instance, it's really still a loan, whether it's, you know, low interest or not. And these funds are paid back with interest, so a little less restrictive, but there are requirements. I'll jump into the next one, which is the county revolving loan fund. Again, two kind of summary reports. One is the reconciliation of the checkbook. Started the quarter with $1,500,000 of income over the quarter, and then the ending balance is about $1.675 million. I would just point out to you that in this particular fund, we have $1 million expected to come out of this fund as we close on our Salem Business Park, the balance of the property acquisition and the funding of the infrastructure, and we're now expecting that that will take place at the end of this month. So just note that while it may show a fairly high balance there now, we're expecting that about $1 million of that fund will be expended as we close on the real estate and fund the infrastructure related to our Salem Business Park development. And then with respect, the next page is just the current note balances and all the outstanding notes. And the Paddock Lake Heights loan is one that is in, you know, in kind of a legal dispute, and so they are in arrears and not current, and there's litigation pending on that. But all of the other loans are current and in good standing. And then the last loan fund report deals with the CKC revolving loan fund. This is our block grant loan fund administered by us per block grant funds received from the state of Wisconsin. Again, you've got the checkbook reconciliation and then the outstanding loans. Would point out we had a loan payoff in this particular fund. Gem Manufacturing paid off a loan really necessitated by the company actually did an expansion, but in doing that expansion, moved from a facility in Bristol to a facility in Kenosha. So the geographic requirements on this fund would not allow the money. It's a block grant fund, and the city is an entitlement community and gets a direct allocation of block grant funds. So these funds cannot be deployed in the city. So we had to have them pay off a loan in this fund, and they actually took a loan from a different fund for their expansion. And then the next sheet is just kind of an overview of all the balances of the four current outstanding loans, and those are all current and in good standing. And then lastly, the high impact fund. This is kind of the more generous fund that we've used as kind of an enticement and a deal closer fund. And again, you've got the checkbook reconciliation. The $100,000 going out was also related to Gourmet Foods International. And you'll also see that there is a pending $175,000 commitment not yet closed, and that has to do with our Niagara bottling project. There were some items related to final occupancy that needed to be closed before we would disperse that second piece, and we're just kind of waiting for that to happen. So there's a balance of that. And then the next page just shows all of the half a dozen companies that are in that high impact fund and the outstanding amounts. But that's kind of a quick overview of the fourth quarter with respect to the loan funds, and then I'd be happy to answer any questions about this or other economic development items related to COP. So thank you.
I have a question for you. Do you have a picture of our high impact funds from the beginning, what they've been spent on, how they, you know, I'd kind of like to see that rather than what we have. You know, not rather than, I'd like to see what we have going on, but I'd like to see a report of how that fund has done. And yep. I know it served us well, but yep. I mean, I think that's something that, you know, I'd like to see.
Okay.
So.
Absolutely.
Just quick. Yes, John. On your follow-up activity here, where you went to W.E. Upjohn Institute, is that something that's in process?
Yeah, so good question. The W.E. Upjohn Institute is a firm that specializes in labor force economics. We, you know, feel like in this area, given all the economic development activity, consistently we hear from business and industry and prospective companies that there are concerns about the depth of the labor force. And so we've hired W.E. Upjohn Institute to do kind of a full-blown labor market analysis. They started that work in the late fall of last year, and it continues now with a number of surveys and follow-ups with employers. And so we expect to have probably a draft of their analysis probably towards the end of the first quarter, I would say, is when we would expect to see maybe a first draft of their labor market study.
Does that have any correlation with their wages too? That is that going to be part of it? That their ingoing, you know, initial wages to starting people? Is that having an effect on it too?
I think the labor market analysis is intended to kind of give a full picture of the labor market, and one factor would be compensation and labor rates and what's driving kind of the movement of people from to and from the area.
And will you bring that to us then too?
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
Further discussion? All right, thank you very much for coming, and look forward to hearing from you again.
All right, thanks.
Then we have...
Wasn't he going to go over some handbook stuff?
Yeah, I think that's the next... I think that's a separate agenda item, right?
Yeah, this is...
I was momentarily confused. Getting older.
All right, we're on number 7.
Thank you.
And that is the resolution for the amendment to...
So Jeff, you asked a question earlier about does the loan fund have certain requirements, and you know, kind of leads directly into this. Brock and I are here before you with a recommendation for some amendments to the handbook. I'll kind of turn it over to Brock as he's worked on this, but just that's really what this deals with.
Yeah, thank you. So this particular loan manual that you're looking at is in regards to the CKC manual. Each of the revolving loan funds that we have something very similar to this. To give you a little background, so in January of 2014, the DOA and the DOEHCR, so the Department of Administration and the Department of Housing and Energy and Community Relations, took over for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and monitoring the program guidelines. When they took that over, they made a few amendments to their handbook as far as guidelines on like the restrictions for allowable loan proceeds per job and some other items like that. What we're looking to do here is just update our manual between the county and CABA to reflect those same changes that the DOA has made to their guidelines. All the changes that we're recommending here have been pre-approved by Deb Wegner, who is a grant specialist for the Department of Administration. There are some small housekeeping changes throughout the manual, such as, you know, changing from the WEDC to the Department of Administration and so on and so forth. There are three key changes to it. The first is in section 2.4, where it allows for the percentage allocation of administrative expense. What we're doing there is bringing it up to 20% from previously it was 15%. Again, that change is just in accordance with what the DOA has updated their guidelines to allow for. The second change is in section 3.6. Paragraph 2, so this is the amount of loan fund proceeds allowable per job created. In the old version that we had, it was $20,000 per job created. They now allow for up to $35,000 of loan proceeds per job created. So, you know, so in other words, if a company's coming in with 10 jobs, we can now give up to $350,000 to that company as opposed to $200,000 before. Again, just in accordance with the new guidelines that they're allowing. Lastly is the interest rate. That's in section 4.1, paragraph 3. You know, they had an interest rate floor of 4%. They're allowing down to 1% now. I think that's kind of the general idea behind these changes is You know, let's not make things harder on ourselves than the federal guidelines are allowing us to do. So I guess with that, that's kind of the high level summary in the changes. Happy to answer any questions on that.
The only thing I would just kind of add that kind of piggybacks on those is that particular fund, it's funded with community development block grant dollars. We're in front of you tonight to add some changes that reflect the state's new guidelines and make it a little bit easier to use and a little more flexible. We need to be, you know, upfront with you. We have some difficulty deploying those funds because of the block grant guidelines. They make it difficult to use for construction projects. They encumber projects with Davis-Bacon prevailing wage requirements. They often require significant administration and monitoring. And in the current environment where, you know, other sources of capital are relatively available at very attractive interest rates, you know, using these funds to fund a construction of a building is almost a non-starter. So we're really looking for a little more flexibility to be able to deploy these funds, but really this is probably a small step in that direction. There's probably some other things that really we need to take up with the state and or federal government about making these funds a little more useful. It's a challenge to deploy this particular fund, and you'd see that as you look at our loan funds and see the loan balance in this particular fund. It's something we're aware of and working on, but struggling with a bit.
Who creates these rules?
So this program is original. The grant funding source is the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and it's their community development block grant program. So the block grant programs have a number of federal guidelines and requirements attached to them. The funds then come to the state of Wisconsin. The state of Wisconsin earns a certain number of those funds in block grants, and then we've procured funds from the state for economic development projects to capitalize our revolving loan fund. But the funds still carry those community development block grant restrictions. And so it's just a, probably from a labor intensity and cost standpoint, it's probably our most challenging loan fund program to administer and oversee and monitor because of some of those requirements.
So that $35,000, $350,000, that's a maximum?
That's the maximum. That's the cap.
That's not the minimum. That's the maximum.
Yep.
Yeah. And that $350,000 was just an example.
But,
yeah.
The $35,000 per job is the max.
Yeah, that seems low. Mm-hmm.
So would appreciate any support that you might offer in terms of blessing that resolution and allowing us to make these amendments to the handbook.
Move to approve.
Second.
Further discussion? So this requires, if one were going to change those things, that requires federal law or federal regulation?
What we're doing here, so to change some of the bigger picture stuff, yes, what we're doing here is our handbook was even more restrictive because of past kind of state policies, and the state has changed those policies. We're updating our handbook to give us the maximum flexibility. So this is kind of everything we can do within our current purview. Beyond that, we need changes at a higher level.
And I know we're planning a meeting with state legislators in this committee in the near future.
Okay. Yeah.
Is this something that should be reviewed with them?
It absolutely is something we should bring to their attention. It may be something where it's out of their hands and it's a housing and urban development block grant issue more than it's theirs. I do kind of feel like the state is just doing their best to follow the federal guidelines, but it certainly would be something we ought to bring to their attention to make sure they're aware of. And I think other RLF operators like CABA around the state of Wisconsin are struggling with this same issue, particularly with these funds.
Yeah. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, Will, thank you.
Thanks.
And,
thank you.
We'll circulate this resolution now for your signature.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe you would like to attend that meeting when the legislators meet.
Yeah, when is
I don't think we have a date.
No, I don't believe. I think it's to be organized.
Okay. I think we'd be interested to know about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, thank you.
We'll let you know.
Okay.
Good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, our personnel director here with item number eight, social media.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, everybody. The policy before you that we're requesting you approve is probably 14 months in the writing. The real motivating factor of this is the fact that all of our departments, or many of our departments, have found it useful to establish their own Facebook pages, their own web addresses, et cetera, and there was the need to put some structure and some policy framework to that so that it maintains the integrity that being a website or a Facebook page in generating from Kenosha County that is appropriate. And so you will see that there are some personal use provisions within this guideline, but mostly it's the general media site guidelines for authorized sites that we needed to control. So you will find that Brookside has a Facebook site and its own site. You'll find that the health department does, and all of those are very useful ways to get our message out into the community. This effort involved personnel, corporation council, information technology, and two members of the county board, including Supervisor Brunig and Supervisor Holman. And so it is with 14 months worth of work and what I think is a very sound policy that we respectfully request your support.
Discussion, Jeff.
So, in reading through it, the employee signs on to this?
The employees sign that they have read and understand the policy.
And this is all okay if we come to grievances or if we have any court issues or, I mean...
For the purpose of example, the issue that came up using the Facebook page with the two women at Brookside was more of a work rule violation and a violation of some of those policies that they have strictly to Brookside, which are, you know, privacy issues and the release of medical information and all that kind of stuff. And there is some of that in here. Okay, but really it's you can't, as a member of the county board, choose to make your own county board website and then give your political views on it and do all kinds of things representing Kenosha County and the county board. Now, if you have the Jeff Gentz site, you can say anything you want.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you'll attract a lot of hit. So this would structure that. So if the board put together its site, if the chairman decided to do that, it would have the logo and it would be following guidelines and rules on how to disseminate information germane to the board.
Is there anything unusual here?
No. We have an electronic communication use policy, and that too has personal use provisions in it, so that you can't violate it. But this is just giving structure, just making sure that what we put out there is truthful and represents the county appropriately.
Is there anything in here about
second?
It's just without reading every line of it right now.
You have trouble sleeping.
Does this preclude employees sitting around with maybe nothing to do for 10 minutes playing Candy Crush and Farmville and all this other stuff?
Yes. Yeah, that and the electronic communication use policy are both covering that.
Sounds like an expert on
you
that.
Can't do that.
You can't play Candy Crush on a county computer.
Thank you.
You're
I've already been there, done that with another issue, and it didn't.
All right, there's a motion to approve with a second. And that was the second was by
Ron.
And is there further discussion?
Just that this is ongoing, constantly ongoing. It's going to have to be updated all the time.
It's a work.
It just keeps.
Moving.
I mean, there's so much
new
technology
companies will,
constantly changing. Yeah. I can't keep up with my kids.
But it's keeping information current too. I mean, you don't want to go on a website and see an announcement for a particular event that happened 6 months ago.
Right.
And that's the kind of things that's addressed in here, that you have to have responsibility to keep it up to date, make sure your information is current, make sure it's something that reflects on us well.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed.
Thank you.
I'll circulate this one. We have Sheriff's Department, appears a number of grant items.
Who has an excellent website?
Hello, Mr. Chairman.
These are nice ones.
Members of the committee, thank you for having me tonight. I'm here before you to ask that you approve two resolutions. They stem from two grants we were awarded. If you recall, the last time I was here going for an exercise grant, I advised I was intending on trying for these, and we were accepted. So the first one is a grant for a commodity flow study training needs assessment in the amount of $10,205.74. That's the amount of the contract with a consultant and contractor to come in and conduct a commodity flow study throughout Kenosha County. And that commodity flow study will record the types of hazardous materials we have flowing in and out of the county by rail, by truck route, by state highway, interstate. As good as we can get a snapshot of that picture. Mm-hmm. In conjunction with that, the state also required me to conduct training needs assessment, which is also included in this grant. The training needs assessment is just that. The consultants and contractors will hit every police agency, fire department, public works throughout city and county, and get another snapshot or picture of how those individuals, those first responders who might show up on a scene involving hazardous materials, are trained, whether they have an awareness level, any training at all, or they have a yearly training level. It gives us an idea, and the state an idea, of just where we are at and how our employees are trained or have some awareness on how to deal with hazardous materials, how to approach them, and how to start managing these incidents. So the intent is not to tell them what to do or to tell these department heads what to do, but to guide them towards further training and how to allocate training needs in those areas where we find there's gaps and needs. So I'd ask that approval for this resolution for that effort.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion.
Great idea.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Is there any way that we can get that last train in the line to have the foam in it?
There's a lot of discussion about that, and it's still up in the air. There's some theory of thought that the amount of cost for the rail carriers, it would be exorbitant. It would be extremely costly. And the fire chiefs have some concern. How could you guarantee that you could tap into that tank? Depending on every situation is different that's involved crude. And how could you tap into that tanker, and how could you verify that each one of those tankers full of triple F foam would be current and available to the firefighters? So there's some discussion on how better to go about that, separating the oil into segments, further improving the tanker cars, which they're doing now. They're in the process of upgrading the tankers, improving the bulkheads and the carriages so the knuckles will snap off rather than barge into the tanks and rupture. So there's some efforts going forward with that.
How much foam does Kenosha County have?
I don't have that answer. I can tell you what I do know about the foam is, let me say, I think there's about 35 gallons at Pleasant Prairie right now. There's a quantity at Johnson Wax that may be available. But the largest quantity right now is due to be placed at Mitchell Field. Prior to that, the only quantity of foam was stored up at Volk Field throughout the state. So you can imagine the time lag and hours needed to get that quantity of foam down to Kenosha or even Madison or Milwaukee. So what the state has done is they've approved funds to move a quantity of foam, 1,000 gallons, I believe. I'm sorry, don't quote me on that. 1,000 gallons to Mitchell Field. So we have a stockpile at Mitchell Field, a stockpile at Volk Field, and through the duty officer, that foam is available to any entity or any fire department that can need it. They just have to make a call to the Madison duty officer, and they'll make arrangements to get it to them. To be honest with you, if there was a full-blown crude rail explosion and fire, there wouldn't be enough foam in the state of Wisconsin to put it out. The foam is used as a retardant and to use strategically to contain the fire. Mm-hmm. It isn't a magic bullet that's going to make it all go away. It would be a problem. So,
I heard that I went to one of the conferences that they were having for the rail system, and they were saying that they would call the different fire departments around the area and ask them how much foam they had, and they would tell them, but that's, they're not asking the right question. How much would you be willing to give?
Exactly.
If there was an emergency, and the answer is none. Because they don't want to give it up. They don't want to give up their own.
Even those small quantities, if you were to give up all the foam you had at your, let's say, in one of your stations, now whereas Pleasant Prairie or Summers, if they have an incident that might involve some other kind of combustible they need foam for, it's a precarious situation that I think the industry and emergency management and the first responders are trying to work out ways to make it as safe as possible. They're lowering speeds. They're putting better tank cars out there. And, you know, thankfully with all these things together, we might see a reduction in these incidents. To be honest, I'm surprised we haven't seen more than we had.
Yeah.
Because of the amount. It's on an average 14 trains a day of oil.
Wow.
All right, there, any other discussion on this? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And you have another?
Yes, this is the, in conjunction with that, is the Railroad Emergency Plan. As I talked about earlier, it's kind of a long strategy regarding rail and safety in Kenosha I'm moving towards here. And this is a separate grant in the amount of $6,246.66. The same contractor and consultants will come in and create a railroad emergency plan. Now what this is, it is a rather involved and detailed plan about how first responders, fire chiefs, police, public works can respond to and deal with any rail incident in this county. So it means mapping the railroads. It means logistically pointing out mile markers, much like the highway, and access points and identifying them by latitude, longitude. And it also goes into the depth of the rail carriers and the rail lines and how we can communicate with them right now with real information. It'll be a bit of a not confidential, but need-to-know basis plan, but it will be made available to every department between the city, between the lakeshore, and the county line for all departments, city and county, fire, police, public works. And it will provide them information about all the rails traveling through here, Union Pacific, Canadian Pacific, and Canadian National.
What's the need to know? What does that mean?
Well, there's information that...
Do I need to know?
Yeah, no. Okay. What it is, and I'll tell you, it only stems from the rail companies. They are private corporations, and they are very, very... They're very protective of all their information and what travels on their rails. They do not like to divulge that for good reason. If we were to plaster this on the web, here's train number whatever coming down with this, and it's not something we want out there for anybody to go online and just look at and plan for, if you know what I mean. It's a risk to them and their private industry.
And sometimes the less that you know, the better you feel.
You sleep better at night.
Yeah, because if you don't know what's out there, then you don't have to worry about
it. It's what the presidents call plausible deniability. Yes.
Well, I think the that, again, stems from the railroads rather than us. I would gladly share that with anybody here.
Just a quick question.
Yes.
Do you know where the money comes from the state, where they get the money to do the grants?
This comes from the state, or excuse me, comes from FEMA, so it comes from the feds to the state, and this is under the Hazardous Materials Emergency Planning Grant. So this is a grant specifically dealing, money allotted for dealing with hazardous materials and planning for those hazardous materials. And I saw it, and it seemed like a grant that wasn't really utilized that much, and the money was there, and I saw this strategy and figured, well, let's go get that and see if we can boost up our preparedness a little.
You should check for other grants for us.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's true.
I've heard that before, where
all of a sudden somebody found a grant for... Yeah.
They can be rather restrictive, but if I do look, I don't just look for one thing. If I find other things that can help other entities, I look into it.
I see you've been looking pretty good.
What's that?
You have four things in the agenda today.
Well, every county that has a railroad going through it, not all of them do, that have Canadian business, but they should all be involved in this kind of a thing. If they're not, well...
I don't think. We have some major rail lines coming through Kenosha County, as does Racine and Milwaukee.
Sure.
The same lines.
Move to approve.
Second.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
And you have one more resolution here? Is that you're going to be?
What it is.
Yeah, you're going to do the Amazon?
Yes.
All right.
They're not as interesting as his.
Things aren't going to blow up.
No. The next item on the agenda is the traffic control for Amazon Fulfillment Center. We were approached mid-November or so by Amazon officials requesting some traffic control for their employees entering and exiting their parking area during shift changes for a period of about 7 weeks, ending, I think, December 22nd. They had a large amount of seasonal employees because of that time of year and the Amazon business. There was some issues with exiting from I-94 in both directions to get on the county highway, and people coming to work, people leaving from that shift. And this happens early morning, around 5 or 6 in the morning, and then in the evening. So two times a day, we would have three or four deputies in that period, 7 days a week, controlling traffic that they asked for. So this is a resolution to adjust the 2015 budget to recognize the revenue, $42,701 that Amazon has been invoiced, and to increase our overtime and other employer expenses associated with overtime wages to increase our budget for the patrol division where those expenses occurred.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Yes. So did we enter into some type of agreement with them, or what? We were just billing them for?
We agreed to provide the coverage, the traffic control. They were given some estimates, and they allowed us to manage the number of officers on the scene for each one, you know, each shift and each day.
There's a break-even thing,
wait
right?
A minute. They were given some estimates. What is that?
Well, they would ask, how much an hour would it be? So those are kinds of conversations we have.
And then they agreed to what we were going to do.
Yes,
so the,
correct.
This bill is not a surprise.
It is not.
Okay.
It is not. There were this, two invoices.
Okay.
You have those
okay.
As part of the resolution. They were sent the November and then the December. So, yes, they're fully aware of this cost.
John? Going forward, is this something that they'll be doing?
We don't know. We don't know.
Well, certainly.
It's actually in the city of Kenosha, and the city police department didn't want to. They were first approached, and they didn't want anything to do with it. So the sheriff agreed to provide his staff for this, and that's how that played out.
They paid the bill. That's good.
Correct.
Well, we didn't make any money. We broke even.
We didn't, but the officers got a little.
It's all right.
Right?
Good,
not
good
on
community
our
relations, dime. Right? Too bad the city didn't
and
have
the people
same
working
right.
Getting another fixture too.
Yeah. Right.
Working 12 hour
safer.
Days. Yeah.
All right. All those in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Aye.
Who made the motion?
I did.
And then you have another one from the
yes.
Department of Transportation.
Right. The sheriff's department partnered with Racine County Sheriff's Department, who received a grant for alcohol enforcement that covered pretty much all of 2015, and another grant that started October of 2015 that will play through September of this year. This resolution requests an adjustment to the 2015 budget for our costs we incurred in participating in that grant. Racine County is given the reimbursement information, the financials and other information required of the grant, and they report that to the state. The state reimburses Racine. Racine reimburses us. We're expecting $8,407, but this is also estimated through September of this year. This is an adjustment to the 2015 budget. I have adjusted the overtime hours, budget, and the related expenses, and the anticipated $8,407. We already know what our costs were for January through December. Those claims have been put in. It's an estimate for January of this year. When we close 2015, the unspent portion will be carried over as part of a year-end carryover process to continue spending the rest of this $8,407 through September.
Approve.
Second.
All right, further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your hard work in putting this all together.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun.
No, we got it, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, the next item is a public works letter.
The chocolate. The candy.
Good evening, everyone.
Sorry.
Oh, candy. Yeah. Oh, nice.
Sorry, I wasn't talking long.
This only requires
yeah, this, something to say. This is a change in a movement in the budget within the same appropriation level. Funds from one project to another project at pretrial building. So all it needs is, we've shown it to the Public Works Committee on Monday night. They approved it, or approved of it, but it needs your approval, and then it doesn't have to go any further than that. Back when we prepared the 2015 budget, which would have been late in 2014, we knew that we had to fix the padded cell room in a pretrial building. It's 12 by 14. So we got an estimate from the people who had, and I was about 20 years old, we got an estimate from the original folks who did it, and based on that estimate, we set the budget at $65,000. When we bid it out last year, we had the one estimate of $65,000, and another company came up with a new way to do it. We got a bid that was much, much less. It was $32,200. So the sheriff and Mike Schrant went down to see this new process. I don't know how technical you want me to get, but the old padded cell room, here's the wall, then they put padding, then they put a level of Kevlar on, and then they paint this with some kind of special paint. Well, the new process, they put the padding on, and then they spray this epoxy-like stuff on there without having to do the Kevlar, and it's stronger and lasts better and costs half as much. So we went with that bid, did it, and saved money. So normally this the money would, the unspent funds would just be returned, and when we would do the carryover resolution in March, it would just be returned back. But they have three hot water heaters over there, and one of them got a hole in it in December and can't be repaired, so we got to replace it. There's 300 gallon water heaters that serve that building, so we want to replace them all because the other two are probably going to crap out there all of the same time, and it costs $23,000 to replace all three of them. So we want to take the unspent funds and replace all three hot water heaters, and that's what this letter is about.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion.
Does any of this have to do with Judge Wilkes' courtroom?
No.
No.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Do you know what's going on over there?
Was water pipes.
Oh, water pipes? Okay.
Yeah, broke.
Okay, because I heard about that all the last 2 weeks.
So you've had hot water over there, I assume.
Well, there's three of them. The two right now are serving the building, but they could go at any time.
Yeah.
So we might as well replace them now.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Jim,
passes.
Do you have
a? And then now you're going to do a transfer agreement proposal. Is that?
Yeah. Did you get a map attached to?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, this.
Yeah. The Village of Pleasant Prairie. They're kind of going through a cleanup of all their land use plans with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. And as they've been going through this process, they found on this map here, this little red section here, I don't know how many of you have driven out down by Springbrook Road.
Oh, yeah.
Right next to the post office, the new post office out there.
Okay.
And this little extension of road here, it's really a cul-de-sac. Now, it doesn't go through. They put the road through here, and then 39th Avenue is over here. So this is really a little dead end. It's 300 feet long. I think there's two houses there.
So, but when they went through their land use plans, they discovered that it's really under, still under the jurisdiction of the county, even though Pleasant Prairie provides maintenance to that area. So the county hasn't done anything, and some of these other areas, these other roads have been already jurisdictionally transferred. So this 300 feet, we want to transfer it over to Pleasant Prairie, and they've been maintaining it, and when they get reimbursed for their maintenance fees, it's based on mileage. When the county gets reimbursed for our fees, it's based on what we actually spend. So we've never really spent any money, so we've never really been reimbursed, but Pleasant Prairie hasn't gotten back anything from the state either. So this will actually give them a little bit more money because they've added a little bit more mileage, and it cleans up the books with the Department of Transportation and the county and Pleasant Prairie. So there's no cost effect, and that's what this resolution is about.
Move to approve.
Second.
That was a tie.
Yeah, it was.
That was a chorus. That was a pose. That was a tie.
All right. Oh, she can have it. That's okay.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
How about your wisdom, Ron?
All right.
Thank you very much.
And are the bills being circulated there?
I have them back again. Yeah.
Oh, you have them back? All right, very good.
They're just some reports.
Now, are there any reports?
Yep, there are a few. Jim?
What's the state on here?
Do you have any, Bob?
I don't.
Nope.
No.
You don't know? There is nothing like that.
And you have some financial ones?
Yes, I do.
Got to receive any email?
No.
Oh, it's coming around.
So you should have received, everybody that had gotten a paper packet, should have received
information. No, I'm going to miss it.
John had asked, Jeff had asked last time, if you could have more information in regard to the TID districts.
I know about both of them, actually. I don't know either one that well.
I didn't ask him to work harder. That would have been John.
My previous opponent was going to run, but then where he decided not to.
It would be good. You'd have to have a primary, right?
It was.
Yeah.
Is there two of them? There's only one there. If you don't need one, pass it down.
You don't want it, Ron?
Oh, yeah. No, that's not. What's that, treasurer stuff?
No, that's the TIF district.
Oh, TIF.
Relating the numbers to where it really is.
It's a map. It shows you where each one of those.
So you can talk about, just a little bit more information than just one number.
This one.
It's a lot of pictures.
And then the last note of business here.
Oh, this is the general fund?
Yep. Reconciliation update.
Is this better than the last?
No, this is
down a little bit. People sent it to me online.
There's still some moving factors.
I think we reported an increase of $1,000,000, this says 671.
Yep, it came down about 2%. The reason it's come down a little bit is because we do not have the IBNR. Actually,
Okay. Did everybody catch all of that?
No.
No. Is there any interest in it?
I heard it all.
I heard it. Okay.
What does
I
he do?
That's why you have two ears.
The better to hear.
Right.
Ron did hear it.
They got a cold.
They don't care.
What?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Aaron and Ron, did you?
Sorry.
Did you hear or care?
She brought to our attention that
it's down, right?
The general fund is down.
671.
671 instead of a million.
So it's 24 million.
What was the main change?
It was down because, go ahead.
We do not, we're estimating that our actuary accrual for claims that have incurred and not paid yet is going to be a little bit higher. So to be conservative, we've brought that number up a little bit more. On the good side, we've gotten some more revenue in at DPW, so that's covered some of that loss. But those are the main factors. Of course, sales tax, we still have one more month of that to look forward to, so just trying to be as conservative as possible.
So next month you may give us a different, better report.
Yes, definitely.
Do we know how much we've saved so far through DPW this winter?
We saved, not exactly, we had a big savings in gas. Because the price was down, and
And then you have to go out as much.
And we also had an uptick in the revenues. The highway department did more work than we thought they would. So there's been a little bit of savings in gasoline and then some increase in their billings.
Okay.
Any other reports?
I'm good.
All right, is there anything further to come before the committee? Seeing none, I'm going to
do adjourn.
Second. All right, all those in favor, say
aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.
You only get
good morning.
When's the last?
March.
Is the finance committee the last one, or will we have one in April after the election?
Wonderful.
Okay.